You know he up and left Tyler high and dry all those years ago. Broke her heart all to pieces. And now he's back? Not only back, but playing leading man to her leading lady in the musical? No. At the tone of utter disbelief from the next booth, Cecily Dixon smiled into her mocha. To her mind, one of the greatest amusements of living in a small town was eavesdropping on the gossip. And boy, were Southerners champions at gossiping. I thought Tucker McGee got that part. He did, but he broke his leg last week. Brody was the understudy. I heard Tyler nearly left the play over it. Well, who could blame her? For the price of her favorite coffee at the Daily Grind, Cecily got the pleasure of stepping in and out of a series of little one-act plays. Though she'd only been in Wishful for 6 months, Cecily found that she often recognized the names of at least some of the players mentioned in each tale. And if she didn't, well, she had enough imagination and experience on the stage herself to fill in the gaps, even if she hadn't been in an actual play since college. Man, she was really going to miss this place. Her boss, Nora Burke, was the most brilliant marketing mind Cecily had ever known. Following her from Chicago had been a no-brainer. The plan had always been to finish her internship and move on to the best position she could find, as far from her well-intentioned family as possible. To make her mark on her terms. Now that the internship was finished, Nora, the new city planner, was being kind enough to keep Cecily on for hourly wages while she sent out resumes and interviewed for jobs elsewhere. But there was no full-time position here. That disappointed her more than she'd expected. Mississippi was just supposed to be a stopover. She hadn't expected this tiny, quirky town to get so far under her skin. She wondered if she'd still be around to find out the resolution of Tyler and Brody's soap opera. If she didn't get off her butt and get some more resumes out and applications in, she certainly would be. Her personal savings, plus the hourly wage, was enough to get her through the end of the year, but anything beyond that would force her to dip into funds dedicated to other things. She preferred not to violate that particular personal rule, if she could help it. Another pair of women reached the top of the stairs, bringing with them a new story. There's been some support, but just not enough. The woman's not-quite-put-together look of yoga pants and denim jacket, hair bundled into a messy knot with what appeared to be a pair of pencils, was capped off by the extra-large coffee clutched in both hands. She and her companion sat at the booth behind Cecily. I thought for sure the idea would take off after you saved the Booster Club pancake breakfast with your biscuits. That helped. And in fact, it was Ginger Arnold who suggested I try opening a business. But I don't think enough people in Wishful even know about the Kickstarter. Cecily's ears perked. A local Kickstarter? That was right up her alley. There has to be a way to get the word out better. I don't know, but I've got to figure something out. Rick's going to be in physical therapy for months, and the doctors have already said he's not going to be able to go back to work at that job. I'm the one who has to step up and be primary breadwinner now. If the Dixieland Biscuit Company doesn't get funded, I don't know what I'll do. I'm a housewife, Lucy. I've got no work experience past the waitressing I did in high school. There's still a week left to the Kickstarter. Don't give up hope yet. Cecily opened a new tab on her laptop and hit up the Kickstarter website, doing a search for Dixieland Biscuit Company. Ah, here we go. Dixieland Biscuit Company, proposed by one Beth Carmichael. As starters for a new business went, it was a modest campaign. The goal was only $15,000, going primarily toward commercial ovens, supplies, and necessary conversion of the proposed business space. But with just over a week remaining, she was sitting at $6,350. That would hardly get it done.